Thursday, December 13th, KBOO hosts a special day of programming, Dare to End the War on Drugs. Portland City Commissioner-elect Joanne Hardesty will return as host of Voices from the Edge on this special day of programming, discussing the over-policing of our black and brown communities and much more. Later that day, join KBOO at Green Hop as we consider where consumers buy marijuana and the value of supporting black and brown-owned businesses. Green Hop is the only and first hip-hop black-owned dispensary in Portland. Again, that's Thursday, December 13th, Dare to End the War on Drugs, here at your community radio station, KBOO, Portland.
Stereotype.
An often unfair and untrue belief that many people have about
all people are things with a particular characteristic are the same.
Stereotype. An unfair and untrue belief.
This is KBOO Portland. The time now is 11 o'clock. Coming up next on Art Focus, they interview Peggy Sue Anderson about the show In Transit, on now at Blue Sky Gallery. KBOO programming is made possible by KBOO listener members and support from Cotton Cloud Natural Beds and Furniture, women-owned since 1981, providing sustainable wood furniture, locally handcrafted futons, latex mattresses, and more, using organic and natural materials. The Cotton Cloud Showroom is located at 701 Northeast Broadway in Portland, online at cottoncloudfutons.com.
My name's Joseph Gallivan. You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Portland. My guest this week is Peggy Sue Amerson. She's the artistic director of East Wing, a gallery founded in Doha, and she's here to talk about In Transit, which is a photographic show at Blue Sky Gallery on now through December 31st. Thanks for coming into KBOO, Peggy.
Well, thank you for having me. I really appreciate the invitation.
So you've come in from Berlin for this show.
I have, yeah. I work remotely for the gallery from Berlin.
And this show, In Transit, is about refugees.
Well, it's about migration into Europe. And the reason we wanted to bring it to Blue Sky is that there's a lot of resonance with what's happening basically all over the world right now, including in the U.S.
Mm-hmm. So I guess Europe has been going through this for a few years, boats full of people capsizing, people dying, you know, people living in parks and things in European places. There's a lot of backlash against it. And you think that America is maybe just catching up on that now?
Well, I feel like we've always had it. I grew up in San Diego, which is on the border with Mexico, of course. So there's always been a bit of a, I think there's a lot of ignorance overall in what it means to be a migrant or a refugee. And especially now with issues like climate change and war escalating, lots of crime, people are having to leave their homes, not because they want to, but because they have to. And so the reason we wanted to bring this show, or the reason that I started this exhibition, was because I was hearing about all this migration that was happening in Europe. I was working with a couple of artists who were dealing with it, and I was invited by a gallery in Aarhus in Denmark to make a show with some artists from the Middle East, and they basically gave me carte blanche to make the show about whatever I wanted it to be. And because this was such a strong issue, I personally wanted to know more. So I started talking to the artists and bringing in different artists and thinking about how photography, I mean, in the gallery East Wing, one of the things that we think about a lot, it's a platform for photography, and we're very interested in challenging people on what they think that photography can be and showing them the vast different points of view one can take by using a camera. Everything from video or using a mobile phone to using a large format camera.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that was one of the artists in the show uses Polaroids as kind of sketch to, mm-hmm. to
That's George
later
Audi.
Working with large format.
Yeah, and I mean, and also in the show, you'll also see that we talk about how migrants use mobile phones to communicate, and the things that you hear on these recordings are the same things that you would say to your own child or your own child would say to you.
Mm-hmm.
Like, where are you? Can you bring me a present? I want to dress like my friends, but the dad is in Germany and the child is in Amman in Jordan.
Mm-hmm. Is that surprising, you think, that people are saying normal things?
I think it's important that the audience experience that, that the audience understands that these people are not criminals, that they're just trying to find a better way for their kids. I understand there's great fear about too many people. I mean, unfortunately, there's too many people on the planet. There's not a lot we can do about that at this point. But, you know, what these people want is just a safe place to raise their kids and have a better life.
Mm-hmm. So there are five photographers in this show. Goha Dashti is the one you see as you go in, the big, you know, these are big prints.
Yeah, these are big prints, and this is a body of work that's called Stateless, and Goha is from Iran. Her past bodies of work are all staged, so it's not... Again, as I was saying earlier, the idea when you think about migration or you think about how photographers talk about migration, you would think that it would all be documentary. But this is actually staged, and it's on the island, on an island off the coast of Iran called Keshem. And she went there to talk about what the way that she speaks about migration in her work is to say, what do you do when there's no place left to go and all you have for walls are the rocks around you and the roof is the sky?
The landscape is amazing. It looks like Utah.
Stunning.
It's wind eroded.
It's very rocky.
Cave type things, and there's mesas, that kind of thing. So into this dry, harsh landscape, you just have people standing there with their luggage a lot of the time.
Or their belongings. And... the main thing is just to show this sort of hopelessness and this, I mean, they have no recourse. They're just left in this place. And she told a very interesting story last night about growing up. She was born near the Iran-Iraq border, and there was quite a lot of war at that time. There was a war going on, and her father refused to leave where they were living because it was his hometown. This is my city. They can't make me leave. But she remembered going to school at one point and her father covering her eyes every time they walked by the hospital. And being a small child, she thought it was a game. So every time they went by the hospital, she'd say, "Daddy, cover my eyes, cover my eyes." So in the show, you see an image of a mother and daughter, and the mother is covering the child's eyes. And she didn't realize the connection until she saw the picture. And then she remembered that this was part of her upbringing as well.
She had forgotten.
She made the connection. She didn't think about it at the time. It was when she saw the image. She was like, "Oh yeah, okay, that's probably why I did that." But
yeah, there's one. Is that the one where there are three suitcases? One of them's orange.
It's the first image as you come, and it's the mother and daughter. Yeah,
yeah. Yeah. There's another one nearby. It's 15 people on a landscape, and they've all got some kind of water container.
Yeah, they're all standing there with water.
Like jerry cans, mm-hmm. or those, you know, milk carton things. And then in the foreground, there's a blanket. Mm-hmm. You know, it looks like it's probably covering a dead body because it's covering completely.
Well, she said she left that open for interpretation. It could be anything. I mean, one of the images that's not in the show, which you can see on her website, is two men dragging a dead palm tree against this same kind of vast landscape. And there's something about looking at that that makes you think of both desolation in regards to things like climate change, but also what do you take with you? What kind of memories do you take with you that are everyday events? You also see that in one of the other bodies of work with Tanya Habjuka, where there's an image, it's not in the show again, but there's an image of just a tray, and this woman had just a moment to take one thing from her house, and she grabbed the tray. And so the tray becomes this very sacred object for her. because it's the only thing she has left of her home.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Radio, your community radio station, KBOO-FM, and it's the start of our winter membership drive. We come to you only a few times a year because the station is almost entirely funded by people like you. About 80% of our yearly operating budget comes from members like you. If you're not currently a member and you are like what you hear, you maybe you're new to the Portland area, you found the radio station of choice, please give us a call at 877-500-5266 to help support KBOO. We've been around for 50 years, hopefully another 50 years or more, all because of people like you. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
Yeah, Ken, and as you mentioned, this is just a short holiday winter membership drive. You know, we're trying to make sure that we go into the new year 2019 strong. We're asking our listeners to step back, take a moment, and consider how important KBOO is to you. We keep you informed with community and national news from the left, from the progressive perspective. We keep you informed with public affairs program. And we keep you entertained with music and arts programming, not unlike the Art Focus from Joseph Gallivan that we're listening to right now. So please show your support for this local programming and give a call to 877-500-5266. I'm going to give that number again, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm. We're looking for just $5 a month. Whether you're already a member, perhaps you can upgrade or add an additional $5 a month. If you're not a member, this is a small monthly contribution. We can charge it to your credit card to keep your radio station active, involved, and our voice in your ear. So please, pick up the phone. Call 877-500-5266 or come on down to the station here on Southeast 8th, just below Burnside, right next to Doug Fur, and take a tour. Any one of the volunteers or staff would be glad to show you around and tell you how you can get involved. This is a volunteer-run radio station. I've been a volunteer here for 3 years. My friend Ken is the one who trained me in intro to audio here. We're, you know, so many volunteers training each other, helping each other to become contributors on your community radio station, KBOO. So please give us a call, 877-500-5266. We're looking for just the equivalent of a latte a month, $5 a month for that very handsome KBOO tote bag.
And Ray is now training other people on introduction to audio production. So if you're a volunteer at KBOO, you want to come in, you want to do radio, you want to do podcasts, we've got the facilities here, we've got the training. Audio production is one of the first courses. We'll teach you how to use a production studio, how to talk into the mic, play CDs, phonograph records, you know, LPs, vinyl. Cassettes even, we have cassette players, and put all that together in the mixing board and come up with some kind of program of your choice, whatever your creative path is. KBOO is a good place for it. In addition to that, we teach digital editing, we teach news writing, interviewing, live remotes. We do the Waterfront Blues Festival every year, Inner City Blues Festival, Cathedral Park Jazz Festival. We go out there and we bring you the music. So it really ties the whole community together. And by calling 877-500-5266 or going online at kboo.fm. You're supporting all this, and some of you out there have been supporting us for 50 years. Some of you are new to Portland and maybe new to KBOO, and you all help support us for the next 50 years, hopefully. 877-500-5266.
You know, Ken, I was just checking some of the facts here, and this is remarkable to think about, but 7,500 hours of programming a year is produced locally here at KBOO by volunteers. So think about that. Music, arts, public affairs. There's over 600 hours of public affairs programming and long-form interviews that's produced here. 500 hours of local arts and crafts and cultural programming that is produced here. This is truly your community radio station. So get involved. many of you have probably wanted to get involved in the past, would like to volunteer, may not have the time to do so, maybe can't break away from work or family to come down and get involved, but you can still show your support by calling 877-500-5266 or going online to kboo.fm and clicking the donate button. But whichever way you do it, show your support. Become a member of the station. Become an owner of the station. Once you become a member, you are one of the owners. You are one of the people giving direction to your community radio station. So again, that's kboo.fm and click on the donate button, or 877-500-5266. But whichever way you do it now.
And Ray and I have been suggesting for this hour a $5 donation a month, $5 gift per month, and that's $60 a year. And what that will get you as our gift to you in exchange is a KBOO tote bag, which is new to this membership drive. Also, if you choose, we have the very warm, comfortable, and stylish KBOO beanie. That's also for a donation of $5 a month, becoming a continuing member of KBOO. And the continuing membership is just great for us, especially for the finance department. They can actually know how much they have each year to spend. Again, 80% of what we spend each year comes from you. So perfect time to give us a call the first day of our winter membership drive, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm.
In Gohar Dashti's work, there is a couple who are hugging, and their stuff is kind of gathered around them. There's
their
fridge, air conditioner, TV, old school TV, cathode ray tube, chair, and water and stuff like that. And this is staged in the sense that these people aren't running anywhere.
No, they're not refugees. They're local peoples, or there's some actors there.
So
as
she
well.
Said, "Bring some stuff."
Well, they
how they managed it.
They orchestrated it all themselves. Her husband is a filmmaker, so they work together. He assists her and she assists him when they're working. And so they just brought that stuff themselves. She does drawings beforehand to think about
So she begins with an image.
With a sketch, yeah. Kind of like what you said about George's work, where there were those Polaroids. He starts and looks at what he wants, and then he creates the image using a large format camera.
Mm-hmm.
So it's a completely different
thing. Do you know what she uses?
I think she uses a large neg, but I'm not sure if it's a 4x5. I'm not mm-hmm. positive about that.
Because these are big prints, and they are absolutely immaculate. You know, the focus is just on. And these are big landscape pictures, but there are people in the foreground.
Yeah, I would say that three of the artists definitely use larger format. I know that George uses a 4x5.
Mm-hmm. And there is a picture of a woman. She's in this wind-carved sort of gully,
mm-hmm.
And she's like a, you know, Madonna holding the dead Christ. She's holding.
It's like a Pietà. Yeah.
Yeah. What's that all about?
Well, again, it's that whole story of. I mean, if you think about the whole story of the Nativity, they were refugees. So again, it's that idea of. When you're dealing with a situation where there's war, innocent people are dying, there are a lot of mothers who lose sons and husbands.
This is a woman holding a young man.
It could be her son,
strong,
but again,
she's holding him up because he's almost like he's floating.
Yeah,
she's in sort of long robes.
She's in an
I
think she's in an abaya. Yeah.
Yeah. But they're placed in this incredibly sort of surreal, you know, curved rock
mm-hmm.
space. Do you know why that one is enclosed, whereas some of the others are wide?
Well, I mean, again, it goes back to that idea that, you know, what do you do when you have nothing? I mean, you lose everything. And the reason she used that landscape was to talk about nature and how nature can support you. You know, how when all you have left is nature to support you. And there's nothing else. You're rejected. You're rejected. You can't find housing. You don't have papers. And, you know, your people are dying. You know, so that's I mean, I can't say exactly what she was thinking, but that's my impression when I look at it.
Another artist, George Audi. So his work is shot in Beirut, Lebanon, but he's shooting Syrians who've left Syria and ended up in Beirut.
Yeah, and these are young people. Most of them are young men. He follows them over a period of years. So in some of them, you actually see them start to become adults, which is really fascinating. They're young men who have come there to find work, and they're living in these sort of in-between spaces. So they live under bridges and on private beaches, and a lot of them, like there's a few images where you can see he's looking into his neighbor's house, and there's quite a number of them sleeping on the floor. And that's another part of migrating and having no money and no papers. You have to live wherever you can live.
So there are two images of looking down into someone else's apartment. One is a guy, he looks like he's sort of picking at his face. He might be shaving.
He was shaving.
You can't see a razor, but he's looking into a mirror, which is like a tile jammed in the window frame. And then another one is where you can see into an apartment, and there are four or five people sleeping on rugs and on benches and things. There's a lot of work where people are looking down at the ground themselves, or the camera is looking down on people. Do you know, has he talked about that?
His
viewpoint?
George is actually originally from the U.S. He was born in Boston. He has Lebanese back. He's of Lebanese descent. He teaches in Qatar at VCU, Virginia Commonwealth University, and he also runs a residency program in Cairo, and he spends a lot of time in Beirut. He's very interested in portraiture. I mean, he studied painting first, and you really see that in the light that when in his photographs, when he makes a portrait, the light is very painterly. So a lot of those poses would be hearkening back to classical posing of portraiture. In regards to working with these young men, he's really just studying them and their sort of their plight of being in between. There's no really other way to put it. They live in in-between places. They have an in-between life. The interesting part of his exhibition, though, is that like all these migrants, they continue to move. Once they're given papers, if they're fortunate enough not to be sent back home, they move on. And so they have continued to communicate with him, and they're sending him WhatsApp images using their phones. And some of those images are in the show, the black and whites that were in the frames are actually from his subjects once they've gotten married. One's a picture of him, one of the guys bathing his kid. Another one is them working in a field. A bunch of the guys got a job in a field somewhere, and so they photographed themselves and sent it back to George. So he included that in the body of work, which is called Scale Without Measure. That's the name of this body of work. And we included the Polaroids because I think it's really important for audiences to see that there's a process. It's not like he just whips out a camera and takes a really fast picture. He's working with a very large format camera, you know, anywhere from 4x5 to 8x10. And so it takes a lot of setup. And so he makes these Polaroids first to study the light. And but the really interesting thing about the Polaroids in the show is that you see the young guys getting older over this period of time, because he also has these relationships with him. I mean, I think the one thing that was really important to me in the show in the beginning was that I realized most of the artists have experienced displacement themselves in one way or another. I mean, Gohar through the Iran-Iraq war, although they did stay in their country, she did experience this conflict around her growing up. George leaving the U.S. and going back to where his people are from. Daniel Castro Garcia, who's another artist in the show, his parents are immigrants from Spain to the U.K. Steffi Zofia Schultz was born in a placement camp. Her mother came to Germany from Poland. And Tanya Habjuka was born in Amman, grew up in Texas, and then moved back to, she's living in Jerusalem now with her husband and her two kids. So all of these people, including myself, we've lived in different places. And I wouldn't say that we're migrants in the same sense as their subjects, but I think what you see in the artist is there's an understanding of not belonging, not being a part of where they are in this moment, or will they ever feel part of anything.
You're listening to Art Focus on KBOO Community Radio. Today's show, Peggy Sue Amason is talking to Joseph Galavan about the photo show In Transit, five photographers' works about displacement and the reality of being a refugee in Europe and the Middle East. And that's the kind of programming you're getting on KBOO, in addition to thousands of other types of programs: music, public affairs, news, interviews, literary shows. We have shows about food, about health. My partner Ray here was just talking, and he does the Roots of Rock and Roll every other Friday at, I think that's at 3 o'clock, Ray?
Three to four on Fridays, right.
So all that programming is brought to you thanks to people like you, thanks to our members. You've been doing it for us for 50 years, and KBOO's been giving back to the community. 877-500-5266 is the number to call. If it's time to renew your membership or become a new member, we thank Gregory in Southeast Portland for calling. Gregory, thank you very much. Hopefully, through people like you, through your generosity, we'll continue on for another 50-plus years. It's just amazing we've lasted this long. 877-500-5266, Ray.
In fact, I'm going to start out by repeating that number. I think it's important that people can commit it to memory, just in case you're in the car now and you can't pick up that phone. It's not really safe. We don't want you to be unsafe, unless, of course, you want to pull over and make the call. But, you know, when available, pick up that phone and give us a call at 877-500-5266 and show your support for KBOO, your community radio station. You know, Ken, in the last break, I was talking about the number of hours that are produced by the volunteers here. And so one of the things that comes across sometimes to people is, well, gee, it's a volunteer radio station. Why do you need money? Well, we need money like any other operation needs money, just for the overhead. And here are some of the numbers that I find interesting and sometimes a little daunting. You know, our transmitter and tower rental is $60,000 a year. On phones and internet, we spend $20,000 a year. Utilities are another $30,000 a year, and on and on and on. You can see there's facilities repair and replacement, equipment repair and replacement. The costs are there, and you know, 400 volunteers and only a small staff, but we do really have costs, and we need your help. We've been here for 50 years. We want to be here for 50 more, so call us at 877-500-5266. And it's interesting to note, I say 50 years, KBOO is now the oldest community radio station in the country. The good news is we've been here for 50 years. The sad news is many of the community radio stations that were out there have fallen by the wayside because they didn't have the kind of support that Portland has shown and Oregon and Southeast Washington have shown for KBOO. So we need you to kind of continue to show your love for the station, continue to show your support. We're not asking a lot. $5 a month would be a small contribution, I think, for most of us. And that can easily come out of your credit card. You don't have to do it all at once. And that $5 a month matters to us. It helps us get through the day, covers our costs, and it gets you the, as I've been referring to it, the highly attractive and very colorful KBOO tote bag, so that when you're doing your shopping, when you're going to Pals, when you're going to Whole Foods, you're not only environmentally friendly, but you're reinforcing your commitment to your community radio station. So please pick up that phone, give us a call, 877-500-5266, or you can go online to kboo.fm and click on that donate button. But either way, please do it now.
And a lot of that 80% of our operating budget, which comes from members like you, comes in terms of donations of $5 a month, $10 a month, $20 a month. It's not big corporations. It's not very wealthy individuals necessarily giving to KBOO. And of course, KBOO is totally independent media. You'll hear stories on KBOO you won't hear anywhere else, especially coverage of local political activities in Portland, local talent, writers, musicians. We have live bands that come in. KBOO kind of ties the community together, and we've been doing that for 50 years, and hopefully, thanks to you, for another 50 years. The number to call, if you're not currently a member, you like programming like this, you want to support us, 877-500-5266. Ray talked about The number of community radio stations that were all across the U.S., there are not as many left today. The same individual, Lorenzo Milam, who founded KABU back in 1968, about a year or two earlier, had founded a station, similar station in Seattle. That's not around anymore. Seattle's got some good non-commercial radio, but it really doesn't have the diversity of KABU. They have KEXP, which does great experimental music, alternative music. Shows like that, they have jazz stations, classical stations, which we have in Portland, but nothing that really reflects the entire diversity of the community. So we're very fortunate in Portland that we have people like you. We have a station like this. We all come together through this synergy. 877-500-5266 or online at kboo.fm.
You know, Ken, in an average week, there are about 80,000 people listening to this radio station, which is a pretty significant number, I think, for an area with a population our size. So we have a good listenership, but we have fewer than 6,000 members. And so that suggests to me that there's a lot of folks out there who probably would like to, but just haven't gotten around to becoming a member yet. It just it hasn't been convenient, hasn't crossed their mind. I mean to do that, but I haven't. Well, this is your chance. Don't procrastinate any longer. Pick up that phone. Give us a call, 877-500-5266, or online at kboo.fm, or in person here at the station, Southeast 8th, just below Burnside, right next to Doug Fir Lounge, if you will. Come on down. We'll share our cupcakes with you. We'll share
We have even vegan cupcakes today, right, from St. Cupcakes.
And we'd be happy to share with you. And more importantly, we'd be happy to show you around, show you where your money goes and how it's used to support the station, and also show you how you could become actively involved and maybe participate in some of the training courses that Ken and I have benefited from and now have an opportunity to teach. And I have to tell you, I enjoy the opportunity to meet all the new people who want to get involved with their community radios.